Hare Krishna. And do I say it right? Govardhana? How do you say? Dobre jutro. No wonder I was getting it wrong. So nice to see you. Hare Krishna. Another bright, fresh morning. Another opportunity to expand our mind and understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari Bol. And another day to feel unhappy that we are not in Rieka. Why are you being punished? Why does everybody else go to Rieka for the Rath Yatra and they don't allow you to go? What is wrong? It's another blessing, another type of blessing. Yes, many, many Rath Yatras. And you will have one here also? Yeah. Slovenia, you have one? Not yet. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, and we are now on 28. Bhavan Yugantar Navo Urmi Malini. Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urma Malini. Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urma Malini. Would you like another tune? Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urma Malini. Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urma Malini. Kshonim Imam Oshadhi Virudham Nidim. Kshonim Imam Oshadhi Virudham Nidim. Does that work? Does that work? Kshonim imam oshadi virudam nidim. Maya sahoru kramateja ojasa. Maya sahoru kramateja ojasa. Now I was trying to say it the Slovenian way, which would be ya. Oh yes, sir. Huh? We don't do that with Sanskrit. It's J. Maya sahoru kramateja ojasa. Tasmai jagat prana ganatmane namaiti. There's an extra syllable. Tasmai jagat prana ganatmane namaiti. Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urma Malini. Kshonim Imam Oshadi Virudham Nidim. Maya Sahoru Kramateja Ojasa. Tasmai Jagat Prana Ganatmane Namiti. Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urmi Malini. Kshonim Imam Oshadi Virudam Nidim. Maya Sahoru Kramateja Ojasa. Tasmai Jagat Pran Ganatmane Namaiti.
Ladies.
Bhavan, your lordship, Yuga Anta Arnave, in the water of devastation at the end of the millennium, Urmi Malini, possessing rows of big waves, Kshonim, the planet Earth, Imam, this. Oshadib virudham, of all kinds of herbs and drugs. Nidim, the storehouse. Maya, me. Saha, with. Uru, great. Kramate, you roamed. Ajja, O unborn one. Ojasa, with speed. Tasmai, unto him. Jagat, of the entire universe. Prana, Gana, Atmane, the ultimate source of life. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Iti, thus. A translation. O Almighty Lord, at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs, and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time, you protected me along with the Earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O unborn one, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. O Almighty Lord, at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs, and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time, you protected me along with the earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O unborn one, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Envious persons cannot appreciate how wonderfully the Lord creates, maintains, and annihilates the universe. But devotees of the Lord can understand this perfectly well. Devotees can see how the Lord is acting behind the wonderful workings of the material nature. In Bhagavad Gita 9:10, the Lord says, altogether, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam Hetu nanena konteya jagad viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving things, beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. All the wonderful transformations of nature are happening under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Envious persons cannot see this, but a devotee, even though very humble, and even if uneducated, knows that behind all the activities of nature is the supreme hand of the Supreme Being. Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this verse is in reference to the Matsya incarnation, who appeared, like every incarnation, to save the devotees, to save planet Earth, and to protect the devotees against further calamity. But devotees need to eat, and devotees need to drink, except on a fast day like this morning. And devotees sometimes become sick, so Krishna provides sunshine, very good medicine, sunshine. Fresh water, very good medicine. Another good, very good medicine is healthy food, very good medicine. Laughter, very important medicine. If you don't laugh, you get sick. If you get sick, you don't laugh. They sleep in the same bed. Sickness and not laughing. So if you become sick, you don't laugh. If you laugh, you don't get sick. Okay? So, as I was going to say, let's all laugh. And so, we also have, what else do we have? We also have medicines in the form of, Prabhupada uses the word drugs, which is an American word of saying the European word medicine. Usually in Europe, if you say drugs, you mean drugs. Not medicine drugs. But in America, if you say drugs, you mean medicines. Okay? American English, English. So, Matsya saved not only the Vedas, but also saved Manu, and also saved the devotees, and also saved trees and herbs and medicines. At the moment, we have a big problem with small demons. Hiranyakashipu was a big demon. Hiranyaksha was a big demon. I was going to say small demon. Big demon. Very big demon. But today in the world, there are many small demons. Small demons. They're very small. They only live for 60 years. They're not very healthy. And they don't laugh very much. Whereas Hiranyakashipu lived for a very long time. He was happy. He knew the Vedas. He could perform tapasya. He could do yoga and meditation. He was blessed by Lord Brahma. He had wealth. He was doing very well. Today's demons, they don't live very long. They don't laugh very much. They're fat. Huh? Like in North Korea, fat demon. Huh? America? No. People, we have no difficulty in saying this person is demonic, because we have the list who is a demon and who is a devotee. Most people have a mixture. It is said that in the in Satya Yuga there were no demons. Then in Treta Yuga, demons had ugly bodies, and the non-demons, the devotees, had beautiful bodies. Okay? Or the other way around. Okay. The other way around. Beautiful demons and beautiful devotees. Then in Dwapara Yuga, we have devotees and demons in different bodies. And in Kali Yuga, we have devotee and demon in the same body. Sometimes you'll see a very handsome person, you see? Sometimes you see a very handsome person, but their consciousness is demonic. Sometimes it doesn't always show. Sometimes you'll see a nice person, but their consciousness is demoniac. Sometimes you'll see an ugly person, but they are devotee, isn't it? Devotees come in all shapes and sizes, isn't it? Oh, We don't say, oh, here's a movie star. He must be a devotee. Here's Miss Slovenia, 2017. She is so beautiful. She must be a devotee. Doesn't work like that. She probably eats horses. So, we have a difficulty because demons don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And in the world, they cause great havoc. We're talking here about the medicines. Sometimes there are many medicines that we don't know, and we need them. Just like in the South American Amazon jungle. There are so many medicines, maybe half the medicines that are yet to be discovered. And still, they're cutting down the forest in order to make burgers. So the burgers will kill you, the medicines will save you, but the very thing that will save you, you're killing it. Then, not only do you want to kill the trees and the herbs and the medicines, but you also want to kill the bees. You also want to kill the bees that will pollinate the herbs and the medicines. How demonic is that? It's almost like a demon is a person. You give him a saw, and he's sitting down in a chair, and he begins sawing his own leg. And you come to him, and you say, aren't you unhappy at this? He said, no, but this has to be done. I have to sew my own leg. So we're killing ourselves. So Kali Yuga society is a killing society. We kill everything. We kill children, isn't it? We kill children in the womb. Then if the children come out of the womb, we kill them with modern education. If modern education doesn't kill them, then we take away their childhood by forcing children to become adults very early. Isn't it? We take that away. And then we kill adults. This morning I was chanting my rounds in the park over there, and still the music was playing from the last night party. Chum, 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 chum. One day Prabhupada was walking, and on a morning walk, so the devotees are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And this sound is coming, chum, 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 like that. But it's not like today's chum, chum, chum. Today's chum, chum, chum is like Prabhupada described. And he said, one day, he said, they will listen to music that sounds like a speedboat. You know, speedboat? Like a machine. So you go to work in a machine, a Kali Yuga factory. Chum, 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 chum. And then at night, for entertainment, you go out and you listen to music. Chum, 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 chum. What is this chum, chum, chum? Everything. You're supposed to be listening to birds and the sound of water. Satvash in his forest. But instead you're listening to jim, jim, jim. Another time on a morning walk in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was walking along, and from one house came the sound of, we used to have a group, I don't know if you know, in Slovenia, they were called Pink Floyd. Anybody knows them? Okay, you're all in Maya. And Prabhupada stopped, and he listened. He said, oh, this is music for ghosts. Prabhupada wasn't very complimentary. So, Kali Yuga, unfortunately, we kill ourselves. We take a plant that is not a drug, and we... We suck in a drug, smoke from a drug that is not medicine. And we cut down a tree that is medicine. And this is Kali Yuga. You don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. You don't know what is up, what is down, what is religion and what is not religion. You don't know what is healthy and not healthy. You don't know what is music. You don't know what is real food. Okay? So you eat things that should not be eaten. And you don't eat the things that you should eat. Okay? It's like so many people come. And whenever we do This is not just you, Prema Gopi. It's not just for you. But I have done 500 weddings now. 500 weddings. More than 500 weddings. A lot of weddings. Don't say Haribo. Means I have the karma from 500 couples. No Haribo. So every time some English people come and we say we're going to serve vegetarian food, they go, oh no. Oh no, my father, my mother, they don't eat very much vegetables. So for me, I'm thinking, what do they eat? There is only vegetables. In 1953, Prabhupada started something called the League of Devotees in Jhansi, in India. And he said the aim of life, he had different aims for his organization. And he said one of the aims, he said, is to have a diet regulated by vegetables. He said, your diet should be regulated by vegetables. I thought that was quite a nice way of saying it. So, I will tell you a story that illustrates how we do completely the wrong thing. Sachinandan Swami likes this story. But anyway, you probably heard it before. So there was a man and his wife living in the forest. He wasn't a Brahmin. He wasn't a Kshatriya. He was only just a very poor Vaishya. Very, very poor Vaishya. And so he was taking wood. It happened in Slovenia. Maybe. In a Slovenian forest. And he was taking wood from the forest floor, and he was burning it very slowly, and he was making charcoal. How do you say charcoal? Huh? Ogile. 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 So he was burning wood very, making ogile. And then he would take that to the market outside the forest. It was 2 miles outside the forest. And he would go and he would sell that in the marketplace. And he made a little bit of money. But he and his wife were happy. Like an ISKCON devotee. Happy. So one day, a stranger came into the forest and his body was covered with sweat. And he had holes in his, where the trees had, and he was, and the poor man said, oh, please come. Idamasanam, please come, sit down. He said, what has happened to you? He said, oh, I was hunting in the forest and I was attacked by bandits, and I only just made it with my life. They took my horse. They're going to make it into burgers in the city. And he said, and I had to run through the brambles, and it tore my clothes, and I only just managed to get free. He said, okay, so come here. I know everybody. They won't attack me. You come and you sit down. Would you like some water? He said, yes. He said, so please rest. You've had a very troublesome day. Please rest. And he said, are you hungry? And the person said, yes. And he ate a nice dinner. Daishi Panchatattva. And so then, he was very drowsy. So he fell asleep. And because it was later in the afternoon, he slept round to the next morning. And when he woke up the next morning, he looked around him and he said, where am I? Where am I? He said, oh, I remember. He said, oh, you've been very kind to me. He said, no one has been so kind to me before. He said, anyway, I have nothing on me now, but I would like to give you something. I said, no. It's my duty. Titi Bhagavan, seva. He said, he was a very cultured Slovenian. He said, I'm doing a Titi Bhagavan Seva. I just want to serve you. It wasn't really Slovenia. So anyway, he said, no, please come with me. He said, come with me to the edge of the forest at least. I need to know the way. So he took him to the edge of the forest. He said, will you walk with me 1 more mile? He said, yes. 2 more kilometers, he said. Walk with me. And so they reached another little forest, a small forest. Not much bigger than, say, 2 times the size of this temple room. It's just a little one. And the person said, I would like to give you this. And the poor man said, "What?" He said, "I want to give you this little forest." The poor man said, I don't own anything. I only own a little grass hut." He said, "Where I am in the forest, I don't own the forest." He said, "This is so exciting for me. This is," he said, "but what are these trees?" And the man said, "Actually, I have to tell you, I am the king. And these are my sandalwood trees. And I'm giving these beautiful sandalwood trees for you and your wife. You've been so kind to me." He said, "With this, I bid you farewell." So then he walked off. And the poor man said, "It's very nice. I've just met the king. I've served the king. He's given me all these trees. It was wonderful." So 1 year later, the king came back. And it was the anniversary of him being attacked in the forest. So he thought, "Let me go and visit my friend in the forest who took so much care of me." So he went and he found him. And he said, "So how are you? It's been 1 year." He said, "Oh, I'm very well, Your Majesty." He said, "But something is troubling." "Majesty, my dear king, please come and sit down. Tell me what is troubling you. If I can help you, I will." He said, "Well, I passed by the little forest that I'd given you just 1 year ago, and there's nothing there." And the little man said, "No," he said, "Your Majesty," he said, I made very nice charcoal. I made all the trees into charcoal." He said, "But the king said, do you not realize that if you just take one small stick of a sandalwood tree and you crush it and you make the oil, you can sell it that in the marketplace for more than 100 bags of charcoal. Do you not realize?" He said, "No, Your Majesty, I'm only a charcoal maker. I don't understand these things. I did not know what was sandalwood." So in the same way, we do not know what is the human body. And so we use the human body and we burn it in a very short number of years. Smoking and drinking and drug taking and everything else that we can do. Jun, 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 jun. And after 40 years sometimes, we are old men. This is Kali Yuga. Sometimes you see a man, you see a devotee man, huh? One who's been living a life regulated by vegetables. And you see a devotee sometimes, and they're 70 years old, and you think that they are 40. And then you see another person who's been living another Kali Yuga life, and he's 40, but he looks like he's 70, because he has burned his body. He has burned his body. He's used the senses in the wrong way, and instead of making sandalwood oil with his body, then he has used his body to make just ash, just charcoal. So what is the sandalwood oil? The sandalwood oil is a very precious oil that is deep, 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 deep inside you. What is that? Tell me, what is it? Not the body, but the soul. But the soul can only be reached by, like the sandalwood, by rubbing. One great sage, he said, if you want to get sandalwood oil, you have to rub. You have to rub, sometimes for hours, or you have to crush. Sandalwood paste you get by rubbing. Sandalwood oil you get by crushing. And then he said, if you want to get sugar, he said, you have to take sugar cane and crush it. Then you have to boil it. And he said, and if you want to get gold, pure gold, you'd have to take gold ore from the mine. You have to crush it. Then you have to melt it. He said, so these things, rubbing, crushing, squeezing, burning, boiling. He says, these are not very nice things. He said, but out of all these things comes sweetness, pure gold, and beautiful fragrance of sandalwood. He said, so in the same way, if you want to use this body for the best possible purpose, to get the best out of it, he said you have to rub and squeeze and boil and burn. And this is called sadhana. This is called sadhana. Now one might think that by getting up early in the morning and by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and by fasting, these things are not happy. They don't make you happy. Anybody, does fasting make you happy? If I say the word breakfast to you, are you happy this morning? Is everybody fasting? Yeah. So if I say the word breakfast on a fast day, break fast, no one is interested. The source of unhappiness. But this type of unhappiness, this source of difficulty, enables one to go higher and to become a realized person. You see, we don't know what is deep inside us. We don't know what's there. Similarly, the charcoal maker, he didn't know what was there. He didn't know the secret. So one who knows the secret, he can get the benefit of the human form of life. It's a very precious form of life, and we simply have to use it in the best possible way. But in order to do that, we need wisdom. So the king had wisdom. He knew the difference between an ordinary stick and a stick of sandalwood. But if you don't know, you won't be able to do anything. You see? One time I was traveling long time ago, and the police came to our truck. I was living like the Harinam Monastery boys. We were all living in a truck and traveling. And a policeman came early in the morning because he had seen the devotees. And he said, okay, must be on drugs. They must be on drugs. Okay, so they said, we want to search your van. And then he found the tilak. And he said, what drug is this? And then he found a packet of Tulsi leaves. He said, you said you had no drugs. These are drugs. One time in Manchester, I was chanting in the morning, Manchester Temple. Six policemen came to the door, and they pushed the door open. Police! Police! They came and they ran upstairs. They pushed me away. It's the drugs raid. We're raiding you. Stop what you're doing. Stop repeating those words. Police! They ran upstairs, six of them, in the temple, with their boots on, heavy equipment, you know, helmets. In England, they look like soldiers. In Slovenia, I think the police look like gardeners. Everybody is nice. Everybody's nice to each other. This is what you have when you have a country that is 60% forest with 2 million people. Everybody can be happy. You should try. You try living in England, which is 60% concrete, and in our city in London, 10 million people. Just in one city, 10 million. So the police look like soldiers. So they pushed their way. Manchester is the second city, you see. Manchester. So they came in, and they were very disappointed. They looked at the Tulsi greenhouse inside the building. They said, oh, this is not marijuana. They were very disappointed. They thought they'd caught someone, you see. So they knew the difference. Unfortunately, sometimes our devotees don't know the difference. We must say, in America, especially if they don't know the difference. So we worship one and we avoid the other, okay? Just in case you don't know. It is amazing, though, for every disease, there is a cure. For every disease, there is a cure, and that cure is in the plant kingdom. In the kingdom of plants, you will find cures for so many things. But you have to know the secret. You have to know the secret. You have to know that everything can cure something. Everything is good for something. But Prabhupada said, Kali Yuga is when children go to school and they don't even know how to grow a potato. They don't know how to grow a potato. This is Kali Yuga. No one can grow food. You see, we bring children. We have about 20,000 children in 1 year come from their schools with their school teachers, and they come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. And for many of them, they are 8 or 9, 10 years old. It's the first time that they've ever seen a cow. First time they've seen a cow, and it comes as a great surprise to them, a great revelation, like this divine, you know, enlightenment descends upon them, that milk comes from cows. The white stuff that I put on my cereal in the morning at breakfast time, oh sorry, I've said that word again. This comes from, comes from. They didn't know. They just thought a cow was something that jumped over the moon, was there in fairy tales and nursery rhymes. They don't know what is cow. But I think also a lot of devotees don't know what is cow, isn't it? Because most of our devotees, where do we sell our books? Most of our book distribution is in the city or the town. So most of our devotees are city devotees. Where's most of our temples? In cities. So we have city people living in the city, in a city ashram, okay? And the temple president is from the city, and then they give a Bhagavatam class and they talk about Varnashram. No wonder in 50 years we have not done it. We don't even know which part of a cow the milk comes from. We think we take the tail of the cow and go, shh, 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 and out will come the milk. So we don't know. These things are a great mystery. Great mystery to us. It's just like Prabhupada talked about Gurukula. Prabhupada talked about children's education. So I was about 30 years old before I discovered what is a child. I did not know. I was a brahmachari for a very long time. I didn't speak to women. Then I got married. Until I had a child of my own, I wasn't thinking child. So if you're not thinking child, then you're not thinking school. And if you're not thinking school, you're not thinking Gurukula. So we're not thinking cow, we're not thinking child. And then we wonder, why is no one becoming a devotee? Because we are very, very, very restricted. We have to create a movement for everyone. And most of everyone is married. I hate to disappoint you, but most of everyone is married. Therefore, they will require a message for married people. So in this way, we have to adjust the messages of Krishna consciousness. And we really need farmers. And we really need school teachers. Hare Krishna. We really need farmers and we need school teachers. And we really need politicians also. And we really need youth workers. And we need all kinds of people to become interested in the work that we do. But for them to be interested in the work that we do, they have to have a place where they can fit in. Otherwise, it is like, I come to your temple. We have one temple. I will tell you the story. It's a funny story. We have one temple where the devotees had been told the principle is that no one can eat prasadam. No one can take prasadam. You don't begin prasadam until the guru eats. Okay? When the guru eats, everybody eats. So it was a Sunday feast. And everybody had been served prasadam. Okay? But the guru, he was still talking with someone. So all our guests were sitting there looking at their plate of prasadam for 1 hour. And they thought maybe this is something, you know, really spiritual. You have to look at the food, you know. You have to sort of, it's very Zen. You have to resist temptation. So they were all sitting like that. So the prasadam had been served. Prasadam was going cold and they were looking, they were thinking, okay, I can't, you know, you have to wait for the bell to ring. So unfortunately, none of them came back. Nobody came back. Oh, why would you come back? Why would you come back to a place where you had to not eat? It is like I come into a room and there's 20 people, you know, 20 people, and there are 15 chairs. Okay? And then the 15 people go ahead, they all sit down, and then they look at me. And no one gets up to give me a chair. Would I go back to that room? No. So, our movement can't be the place where there's less chairs than there are people that want to sit with us. Our movement can't be a place where we serve the prasadam, but tell people not to eat. So there are four ashrams. Okay? Just reminding you. There's four. There's four of them. And you can choose which one. Four. And there's four varnas. And the idea is that with your varna and your ashram, you should be happy. Of course, it's a material world. You'll never be quite happy. There'll always be something you want. So the brahmachari is never happy. He thinks, maybe I should get married. Maybe. The grihastha is never happy because he thinks, maybe I shouldn't have got married. Maybe now I should take vanaprastha. The vanaprastha is not happy because he's thinking, maybe when I was a grihastha, I should have made a bit more money. At least I could have repaired my laptop or something. Sannyasi's not happy because he thinks, you know, I never was married. Maybe I should have been married, then I would have been a better sannyasi. So, should a sannyasi be married first? This is the question. Should you take sannyas as a brahmachari, or should you take sannyas after being married? What is the answer? We go back to the earliest conversation between two great sages who each wrote the Dharma Shastra each. One was called Yajnavalkya and one was called Bodayana. Even then, even at the beginning of the Vedas, there's two different opinions. Bodayana says, immediately from brahmachari life, one can become sannyas. Yajnavalkya says, no, go through grihastha life first. Either way, in each ashram, you will find something that you don't like. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. There's many things in Krishna consciousness I don't like. You know how long I've been in Krishna consciousness? 44 years. 44 years. That's longer than you've been alive. In fact, you could put two of your lifetimes into my lifetime. 44 years. And in that time, of course, there's many things in ISKCON we don't like. Many things in the movement we don't like, many things in the ashram we don't like. So many things. So we'll always, because those things that you don't like, those are the things that will help you to grow. That is where you're being boiled or rubbed or burned or purified. If there was no, I don't like this, there would be no purification. See? So every varna has a problem. Every ashram has a problem. See? But without the little grain of sand, you don't get the pearl. You know pearl? What's Slovenian for pearl? Huh? Bice. 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 You don't get a pearl without a grain of sand. So when the oyster itches itself, oh, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, gradually it is producing a beautiful pearl. So as devotees, we want to be gold, we want to be jewels, we want to be pearls. These are the things, these are the words we use to describe the Uttama Bhakta, the great devotee, the pure devotee. See? But you don't get like that without problems. Even when Srila Prabhupada in 1944 was distributing his first Back to Godhead newspaper, a bull came, and with the bull's horn, he stuck in Prabhupada's chest. Prabhupada was gored by a bull. Some days it was so hot that he would faint from the heat. So at that point he could have said, too much trouble. I'm going home. I'm going home. What is this Back to Godhead business anyway? I tried my best. I tried distributing books. It didn't work. Then when he went to America, he'd written the Bhagavad Gita, and the whole of the Bhagavad Gita was stolen by some mad hippie boy. Came and stole Prabhupada's manuscript from which he was going to produce the printed Bhagavad Gita, just stolen like that, then Prabhupada could have thought, ah, Krishna doesn't want me to print Bhagavad Gita. See? Could have thought like that. But he didn't. He thought, no, somehow or another this is good. I'll do another version, and I will do a better version. So when problems come, we see that as an opportunity for development. Nothing really can stay in the way of Krishna consciousness. So we have different examples of Krishna consciousness for us. Four different examples. With Gaurakishore Das Babaji, we find someone who didn't preach, but who was completely at home with tapasya. With Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we have someone who was never married and started a preaching organization known as the Gaudiya Math. Near my house, just on the outside of London, we have a little place called Cricklewood. And there lived one lady, and she was initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1934. She was the first English woman to be initiated. I think she was the first Western devotee to be initiated. And her name was Vinod Vani. And when I was young, sometimes the devotees would try to, you know, knock on her door. But by that time she was very old, and I think she had been told not to speak to us or something, but she never opened the door to strangers. Okay, but she and her friend, they got initiated. Now, Satyaraj Das, Stephen Rosen, he wants to write a book about her. First English devotee. Anyway, so this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was 64 Gaudiya Maths, and also in Burma, Myanmar, and also in London and Germany. He sent his disciples also to Germany. You see, Srila Prabhupada was a householder, then became sannyasi. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was mainly a householder for most of his life. And today is his disappearance day. And from him we learn so many things. He is the person who has really single-handedly resurrected Krishna consciousness. Krishna has very many blessings for the person that starts with nothing. That is why if you join Krishna consciousness now, the best thing that you can do to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings, and I say this even with the temple president in the room, is to take Krishna consciousness to a place where it has never been before. So, if we go and we start a small center somewhere, we get extra blessings, provided you don't fall down. But you don't have to go very far. Prabhuji here was telling me last night he was living in Ljubljana, right? But he came to the temple and there was no small center near where he lived. There's so many people see the devotees and maybe they don't know what it's all about, or maybe it's too serious for me, or maybe I don't want that haircut. I don't want to cut my hair, you see. Or I'll cut my hair but I don't want this little thing on the back. What is this? This is not Buddhism. And so, even in one town, you can have many centers. In two towns in England, we have four Buddhist centers in one town. North, south, east, west. And a shop in the center of town. Because I may not come to the temple, I may go to a shop, or I may come to a restaurant. Early on, Prabhupada was in Hawaii, and the devotees had started a restaurant. It was the first Govinda's restaurant. And Prabhupada said, there are so many people in the restaurant. They said, yes, Prabhupada, they like to come here. He said, but what food are you serving? I said, is it prasadam? Yes, Prabhupada, it's prasadam, temple prasadam, same as we have in the temple. And Prabhupada said, So why are they coming here and paying for food? Why they don't come to the temple and have prasadam for free? They said, no, Prabhupada, they don't like to come to the temple, but they like to come to a restaurant and pay. Prabhupada, oh. So then he sent a message. He said, so now, no more temples. No more temples. He said, we will have restaurants. Everybody will come to the restaurant and you can have some kirtan playing. So this is what in different parts of the world the devotees do, and it is very successful. So Krishna consciousness is two principles. One is to never change anything, so that it is the same today as it was thousands of years ago. We never change anything. But for preaching, we change things, the externals, we change the point at which people contact us. So in order to make ourselves available, accessible. Accessibility is a very important principle. Sometimes they like Hare Krishna, but they're very lazy. Prayin alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya supadrata. Kali Yuga means people are very lazy. So there's a Hare Krishna temple at the end of the street. I have to walk all the way to go there. So Sankirtan means that you come to them. But it doesn't just mean that you come, you sing at them and go away. One time I was invited to a newspaper editor, his house. He was a newspaper editor. And he said, you know, I like the Hare Krishnas. I like you. I like your singing. I like your food. He said, but there's one thing I don't like. I said, what is it? Please tell us. What can we do? We can change it. He said, yes, I think there's something that you should change about what you do. I said, what is that? He said, I'm a newspaper editor and my business is communication. I make sure that I'm communicating with people. He said, and you sing, but you don't always make sure that you're communicating with people. Because you're singing, but they don't know what you're singing. And they don't know why you're singing. And they don't know why you're there. And they don't know why you're dressed in a particular way. He said, so if you sing in the streets, but you don't give out anything for them to read, he said, then it's an exercise in not communicating. So then we looked at what Prabhupada said. And actually Prabhupada said, when you go on Harinam, you should give some free information. And Prabhupada in 1973, he wrote to the devotees in England, he said, you should go on Harinam, distribute books, give out some little prasadam, something small, even some small nuts. He said you should give some free information. You should answer their questions, talk to them, and then try and arrange a program in their home. He said, do these six things. If you do these things, he said, go all over the country and go without anxiety. So he was describing a way that we can do the same thing, but make it more accessible. The whole thing is accessibility. Prabhupada was in Oxford. You know the famous Oxford University? He was in the town of Oxford and he was giving a talk. He was getting to give his lecture. So the microphone, you know how devotees are with microphones, huh? We're like charcoal makers. We don't know that the microphone is actually a very delicate, sensitive electronic instrument. We treat a microphone like a stick. You see devotees before every class. Yeah, we treat it like a stick. It's not a stick. It's a very sensitive, delicate piece of equipment. We don't use a microphone as a spoon, and you shouldn't use a microphone as a stick. So this was smashed. So they were trying to fix it for Prabhupada. And it wasn't fixing. So Prabhupada, he mentioned to one of his devotees, he said, come forward. He said, give me your Brahmin thread. So he said, yes, Prabhupada. So he took off his Brahmin thread. And Prabhupada took the Brahmin thread. He tied the microphone to the microphone stand. And the devotees were just, wow, what was that? Was that Pancharatra or what? What was that? Was that Vedic? No, it was making the message of Krishna accessible. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accessible. First thing he did was translate and make possible and print copies of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, the Chaitanya Charitamrita wasn't even available in Bengal. You couldn't even buy a copy. So imagine that. If I go down to Ljubljana and I go to a bookshop, okay, and I say, I would like a book about the history of Slovenia, please, with all the kings and all the history, all the battles, all the, what makes Slovenia, Slovenia. They say, yes, sir, we have 6 books for you. You can choose. Okay? One has lots of pictures, one has no pictures, etc. like that. Or we also have a set of DVDs. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, if you wanted to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most famous person in the history of Bengal, okay, there was no book. You couldn't find a book. Something was there, but Chaitanya Charitamrita wasn't available. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is most important because it is the philosophy and the biography together. That's why it's the most important one. Even more than Chaitanya Mangala, even more than Chaitanya Bhagavat, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so that was what he did. Second thing he did was to make bona fide songs available. There were so many songs in Bengal at that time. One song goes like this. Oh my brother, oh my sister, worship Nityananda. Nityananda is most merciful. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, just worship Nityananda. You can eat fish, you can drink wine, but worship Nityananda Prabhu. Okay? So these were the songs that people were singing because the Bowls and the Owls and the Kartabhajas and the Sahajas and the Sakibekis and all these different, you know, Chudadaris and all these different, 13 different groups were there. 13 different groups preaching nonsense all over. And what had happened was that when the Muslims came from Persia, from Iran and Iraq, they came to India in the 1200s, 1300s. They conquered, first of all, was one side, and then they went right over to the other side, and they wanted to conquer what we now call Calcutta, because it was, you know, you could, all the ships could come in there. So this was a very powerful place, if you capture that place. So they captured Bengal first. So into Bengal came a lot of people. So from Persia, some people were persecuted. Their names were Sufis. So they were persecuted in Persia. And where did they go? Many of them came to India. And they became, you know, you've heard of the dervish? Dervish, the Daravesh. They go. And they were Muslims, but they were singing Hindu songs in order to bakshish, to get dakshina, to get donations. They were Muslims singing Hindu songs about Krishna. So this is why the philosophy changed, particularly in Bengal. So all of these things were, it was like a khichdi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, right, we have to have Shuddha Bhakti songs and Shuddha Bhakti books. So this is why he wrote so much and published so much. Then, next thing, we have to distribute them. Yeah? So Prabhupada did exactly the same thing. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, pure songs. Actually, Prabhupada gave us only a few songs, didn't he? Only very few songs. There are many, many, many songs. He said, I have given you Jai Radha Madhava, Hare Krishna Mantra. He said, and Achyutananda Swami has given you all the rest. Achyutananda Swami was someone who went to India when he was 16, very young. Took sannyas when he was 18. And he spoke Bengali and he's still with us. But he gave us the Hare Krishna songbook that we have today. And Prabhupada gave us the Nrisingadev prayers. Very few songs. All the other songs came from So then Bhaktivinoda was writing songs, and then his followers were taking those songs and giving them melodies, because for every song you have to have a melody, you have to have a tune. So he was taking those songs and they were stealing the melodies, the popular melodies of the day, from the owls and the bowls and the kartabhajyas and the sakibakis. They were stealing the sahaja melody and putting it to Bhaktivinod Thakur's. So then he was printing those, and he was taking those to each village that he went. So his job was a magistrate, and he would go to judge cases. But he was a traveling magistrate, deputy magistrate. And he would go to a village, and by day he would judge cases, hear complaints, deal with everything on behalf of the British government. And in the evening, he would do kirtan and bhajan with his followers. So in his life, he set up 500 kirtan groups. 500 kirtan groups. This is the measure of spreading Krishna consciousness. The measure of spreading Krishna consciousness is if you can create a group of people who sing together. Because then Krishna consciousness is spread. So he created 500. Then when his son came, Bimala Prasad Dutta, known as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he came and he took these groups, and many, many of those groups became developed into Gaudiya Mutts. So the householders were there first, and then some of them gave their sons to become brahmacharis. That's how it developed. And so in those days, this is how we got our saffron brahmacharis. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was a brahmachari, he wore green. Green. They wore different colors. Okay. How we got our saffron brahmacharis, you know? Because at that time was very famous in India, the Ramakrishna Mutt. And the Ramakrishna Mutt, is it Ramakrishna Mutt? Ramakrishna Mutt? All right. Ramakrishna Mission. Ramakrishna Mission. And so they were all over Bengal, and they did charity work, and they had a great level of respect. And all their brahmacharis and sannyasis, you couldn't tell the difference because they were in saffron. So one big leader from the Ramakrishna Mission joined Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and said, well, look, let's do this. Let's organize it along the same way. So that is how we get our saffron brahmacharis in ISKCON. Because usually saffron means sadhu. When I joined, you walked in, there was no one wearing white. Nobody wore white. Householders wore yellow. Householders wore yellow. And all the brahmacharis and bhaktas wore saffron. There was no white anywhere. It's interesting, huh? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur did wear white. He was a householder. So he was. These were his ways of reforming. And of course he contributed many, many songs that we sing today. Kipa jayo jayo goro channe aroti koshoba. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yashomati Nandana Brajabara Nagara. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So practically speaking, we are working with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's legacy. But he didn't start a movement in the same way that Bhaktisiddhanta, his son, gave shape to his father's work. This is something different. So our Prabhupada continued that. So we're very grateful to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We offer our humble obeisances to him this day, his disappearance day. He passed away in Calcutta. in this day in 1918, I think. After a very, very full lifetime, he hardly slept. Hardly slept. A few hours a night he would sleep, and then he was up again very early to do everything. Heard cases, and then he was writing. He had two houses. One was Swananda Sukara Swananda Kunj, down the street, and one was his other place in Surabhi Kunj. Or rather, Surabhi Kunj. He had two places, and he had 12 children. So one was a place for his wife and children and domestic servants, where all the work went on. You can still go there today. The house is still there. The devotee looking after it. And then the other house is where he did his bhajan, where he did his writing and everything like that. So you can still go to that place. And in the garden of that house, there is a beautiful Samadhi Mandir of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there are also his deities. So all over ISKCON we worship Gaur Nitai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was worshipping Gaur Gadadhar. And of course today is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's disappearance day. So Gadadhar Pandit Gosai was originally from the spiritual world. He is the internal energy of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, who has come to accompany Gauranga in this form. He was never married. He always lived as a brahmachari and then a sannyas. He lived in Navadvip with the Lord, and then he went to Jagannath Puri with him. He was very expert in singing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had two people always with him. Gadadhar Pandit was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Swarup Damodar was expert at kirtan. So between the kirtan and the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. But then he asked him to live in a particular place because Gadadhar Pandit. Interesting, actually, Gadadhar Pandit, because he was always naturally renounced, his family moved when he was a young boy to Navadvip. He was originally from near Chittagong in Bangladesh, what today is Bangladesh. This is my last 2 minutes, I'm just telling you. So they moved, and they lived quite close to Srivas Pandit. And today, of course, if you go to Srivas Angan, right next door is Gadadhar Pandit's place and Advaita's place. All the brahmanas like to live together. So then time came for him to be initiated, and the suggestion is made, why don't you go to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. You go and see him. So here's Gadadhar. He's very renounced. His senses perfectly under control. Always humble. Always serving. And he goes to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he looks in the window, and he says, "Here's a man sitting on silk cushions, being fanned with a peacock fan. He's surrounded by attendants, and he's, you know, he's got a turban, and he looks as if he's every inch the indulgent householder." Okay. So then Mukunda Dutta, who was with him, he said, no, listen to this. And he started reciting a verse. And as he recited the verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi fell into ecstasy and started rolling on the ground with tears in his eyes. And then Gadadhar turned to Mukunda and said, "Oh, I see why you have brought me here." So Mukunda, they went back, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the only way that you can get rid of the offense that you made in your mind about Pundarik Vidyanidhi is by becoming initiated by him. You must become initiated by him. And so he did. At one time, by mistake, he gave away the initiation mantra to someone who was unqualified, and he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reinitiate him. Is that the story? Then he said Pundarik Vidyanidhi was coming and said, you have to do it by him. So then he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, you should go and live in this place on the coast. It's a tota, a garden. What is it called? Yameshwara tota. So there, Giridhara Pandit was worshipping Tota Gopinath, the garden Gopinath, the Gopinath in the garden. And you can still go there today and see the place. But it came time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan, and Giridhara Pandit had taken a vow to be a Kshetra sannyasi, to always stay in that place and never move from Jagannath Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said goodbye to him. And Giridhara said, no, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. He said, no, you can't come with me. You're a Kshetra sannyasi. You have to stay in your place. Stane stita. He said, no. He said, to hell with my vows. To hell with my vows, with my Kshetra sannyas. I'm coming with you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, don't speak like that. He said, you have to remain here. Who is going to look after your bhajan and seva? He says, no, I want to come with you. So then they came and they walked a little bit. And he was walking behind, a couple hundred yards behind. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was up in front. And every time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked back, there was Giridhara following him. So eventually he said, look, I think it's best that you go back. So he agreed. He agreed to go back. But he was very, very attached to his Lord. And we always see Giridhara Prabhu next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on one side, and Nityananda Prabhu attached to him on the other side. Were it not the case that he was so attached, we would have had another configuration of Panchatattva. We would have had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up and all the other four down, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end and Giridhara on one end, but it's not like that. You share the position, Giridhara on one side and Nityananda on the other side. Nityananda Balaram and Giridhara Pandit Srimati Radharani. Okay. Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Giridhara Pandit Gosai ki. Rieka Rathiyatra ki. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Tirubhav. What's the other one? Also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, key? Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.